Hello, Coven. Welcome to the Witch and Kitchen podcast. My name's Britt and I'm your host, and thank you so much for tuning in this week. So this week I'm going to be talking about storm magic because, you know, April showers bring May flowers, but I also really enjoy doing spell work during a storm. There's something about all of the energy that you can feel in the air that just makes me want to do magic. So I'm going to be talking about different ways to incorporate storm magic into your practice, how you can use rainwater, how you can draw in and even store the energy from a storm, making like a battery of sorts, which I have. You can use that energy to draw on later. If you really need to do a spell, but your energy is kind of low, you can harness some of that energy for your spell work. So I'll touch on that. And also just some other things that you can do during a storm to feel your witchiest, because being in line with the cycles of nature and harnessing the elements is something that is just super powerful. It can really elevate your practice to the next level if you get in tune with what's going on around you. So, if you want to learn more about storm magic, then sit back, relax, grab yourself a snack, or whatever you do when you listen to podcasts, and stay tuned. Hello, Coven. If you would like to advertise on the show, if you would like your information to appear here, mid-roll, and let the rest of the coven know about your witchy business or other goods that you think would benefit the rest of the community, anything kitchen-related too, because you know it is the witching kitchen, feel free to hit me up. You can email me, you can DM me on any of my socials, and I will get back with you with rates, and we can work on an advertising plan. You can do a single episode, you can do multiple episodes. Everything includes a social post with all of your information and all of your information linked in the show notes below if you choose to sponsor. If you've heard any of the sponsorships before, then you will know what all of that entails. So, if you would like to join the ranks of Witching Kitchen sponsors, then hit me up anywhere below. Back to the show. Okay, so my sources for this episode are themagickitchen.com, theteawitchblog.com, otherworldlyoracle.com, spiralnature.com, and witchoflupinehollow.com. Shout out to Tanae. I love your content, ma'am. But today, like I said, we're going to be talking about storm magic. So being in Florida, especially during the summer, we get a lot of sudden rain. And usually it starts out as like a torrential downpour, and then it eases up into a nice little sprinkle. And it lasts for like maybe an hour, and it's just in the middle of the day, and it's kind of honestly really inconvenient, but that is the weather that we have, so you stick with it, right? But I know that there are other areas in the world that also have frequent rain. I think a lot of the UK, I know that y'all get a lot of rain throughout the year, not just during the summer, but also any other tropical and subtropical climate is going to have their rainy season, and Florida definitely has one in the summer, but it kind of lasts all year. We'll get some sudden rain. Today's actually a beautiful day. I'm just relaxing in my living room on a Saturday. It's actually very nice outside. I might go for a walk or something. But, storm magic, especially if you live near the beach, and I think that's where I talked about storm magic last, was in relation to the beach, which I'm not super duper far from the beach, but it's not like a day trip. Well, I mean, it is a day trip,
like a couple hours is the furthest I have to drive to go to the beach. But there is a miniature beach like half an hour-ish away, like 45 minutes away. I've got like a small beach where I could go if I just really need some ocean time, which some days I really do, but yeah. Anyway, the energy during a rainstorm is palpable. Like, I don't know if it's just a Florida thing or if other people do it. I mentioned this on my last visit to New York with my boyfriend's family, and they all thought that I was nuts, but we can smell the rain coming. There's a particular smell in the air whenever rain starts brewing. It may be like a southern thing too, but especially here in Florida, like you get that little, like, oh, yep, it's gonna rain in a couple hours. And sure enough, usually that's when it rains, is in like a couple hours. We can tell, like, it gets stronger like right before the clouds start rolling in. But it's a very distinct smell. Any Floridians will attest that. I mean, if you grew up in Florida, if you were born and raised in Florida, or if you grew up in Florida like me, you know what I'm talking about. It's not a smell that you can just describe. Like, there's no other smell like it. The smell of oncoming rain is a distinct thing. But yes, I love that smell. If I could just bottle that smell up and just, you know, open the little bottle and just, like, anytime that I want to smell the rain but not actually have the rain, it's great. So there's electricity in the air as well as the smell of the rain. Also the wind, the rain itself, the little like misties that come in like right before it really starts raining. All of that really just lights up my senses. I don't know what it is, but I love just being outside like right before it starts raining, and you feel all that wind whipping around, and you feel the static electricity in the air from the lightning that's hopefully far away and not too close to me, because then I get my ass inside. I don't play around with lightning. There have been a lot of people who have died from being struck by lightning, especially down here in Florida. I feel like that's where a lot of it happens, but I could be wrong on that. But I know that I've heard more than a few stories of people from around here, especially, who have died from being struck by lightning. Or people who have survived after being struck by lightning, which is just fucking insane to me. Like, how the hell does your body, like, conduct all of that electricity and you're not dead? And I saw a post on somewhere online, it's probably, I think it was Facebook, but of this guy who had been struck by lightning, and the lightning had actually left a pattern, like, in his skin. Like, the scars actually looked like lightning bolts, and they were so fucking cool, dude. Like Harry Potter in real life, except it was all over his body, and it, like, on his arms and his legs, his torso, like, everywhere. And I thought that was pretty cool. I'm not sure how he feels about it, but I think that's pretty sick. But anyway, so all of that being said, I feel like witches in general really like the rain. I feel like, especially with bad weather, witches are correlated. For some reason, people think that witches just want to destroy humanity and will send torrential downpours and floods or droughts. And, you know, like in the Triora episode that I did on the Village of Witches, witches were blamed for there being a drought two summers in a row. This is like, why would witches do that? Witches need to eat too. I mean, you know, like, witches don't just, you know, they don't have photosynthesis. Like, we're not plants, you know, we can't just get our food and necessary nutrients from the air, from the sun, like plants. We need to eat too. So why the hell would we make a drought? You know, I never got that. But anyway, you can make a lot of magic during these times of rain and other tumultuous weather. There's lots of magical correspondences to the different elements of a rainstorm. All four elements are represented whenever a storm is happening, especially if there's a lightning storm. So the earth is obviously represented by the earth being renewed by the rain, the air from the wind, the water is represented by the rain and the mist coming from the clouds, and then fire is represented by lightning. So I find that pretty cool, and I feel like it's honestly a great time to absorb energy, release energies. It's a great time for cleansing and renewal, and it's also a great time for chaos magic if you're into that. I don't do it very often. I've only done it like once, so you know, that one time that I, you know, did some baneful magic against that woman that was openly flirting with my boyfriend in front of me, after I asked her multiple times to just respect our relationship, and she said, no, fuck you, and I'm like, okay, fine, fuck you back, bitch. But that, I've already talked about that a while back, so I'm not gonna talk about it again, but, that was my one real instance of actual major sit-down-and-plan-it-out chaos magic, which I feel like that's, an oxymoron. Don't you think planning out chaos? Usually chaos is sporadic, right? But in that instance, it was planned. But, so, rainwater. I always keep a jar of rainwater on hand, separate from the moon water. You can also utilize the moon phase that is occurring during the storm. So, I have an app, a moon phase app. Actually, I have two moon phase apps, but one gives like the moon in relation to astrological stuff going on, as well as certain rituals that you can do. And there's one that just shows the moon phase as well as the weather, prediction for your area. They're both really cool. They're both free. I'll put the names of the apps in the show notes. One is just black with a crescent moon, and then the other one is white with a blue, like, watercolor moon. They're both great apps. I pay for the premium on the second app, the one with the white and the blue watercolor moon, just because it's got a lot more information whenever you pay the premium. It's $5 a year. Like, I'm not gonna not pay the premium, but anyway. So, rainwater. Now, you can incorporate the moon phases into it as well. I don't, just because I have different moon waters for the different phases. I've got mostly full moon water because it's just a good for everything type thing. But if I can remember, I will also make new moon water and waxing and waning moon water. I'm very low on all three of those, but I always keep a good bit of full moon water in hand. But anyway, rainwater itself, without factoring in moon phases, if it's a gentle rain that you're collecting it from, it's very cleansing, calming, rejuvenating. You know that feeling that you get whenever it's just a nice, gentle rain, it's nice and demure outside, makes you just want to cuddle up with a blanket and a hot beverage and a good book. Or, you know, put on some Netflix or whatever you're into. It makes me want to read, but because it's a nice, you know, background noise, the little pitter-patter on the roof, that feeling, the feeling that you get naturally from that type of rainstorm, will also present itself in the rituals that you use it for. So for gentle, it's cleansing, rejuvenating, calming. You could even use it in sleep spells, because that always puts me to sleep. Anytime that it's, like, overcast and just, like, drizzling outside, especially when I'm at work, I hate it when I'm at work and it does that, because I just want to sleep. But when I'm at home and it's, like, late evening, or even better, if it's already, like, a Sunday and it's a nice light drizzle outside, oh, give it to me, baby. I love it. But, yeah, so that's for gentle rain. Now, if it's a little bit more volatile. If it's more of a torrential downpour, which is what we usually get here in Florida, it pulls out all the stops. Sweeping change. Very full and sudden change. Like, if you need your slate wiped absolutely clean, use more volatile rain. Like, if you're in a state where you get hurricanes, or if you get cyclones, and you're not in any danger, if it's like a lower grade like cyclone or hurricane, and you don't have to evacuate, basically anything under a category 3 for us Floridians, you can use that as well for some major chaotic energy. If you just want to go balls to the wall with no inhibitions at all, if you just want to say fuck it, and if you want some major Aries energy, which tomorrow is the Aries new moon, so I'm feeling that Aries energy, to be honest. But if you just want to say fuck it and go forth and ensue chaos, then use hurricane water. My God, use it and then hope for the best, because it's very hard to control. You can't control a fucking hurricane. So if you use it, do so at your own risk, because it could come back to bite you in the ass, or it could be pleasantly chaotic, depending on what your ideal situation is. Just be careful with that. But if it's just a heavy rain and it's nothing to really worry about, but it's definitely not a gentle drizzle, you can use it for full renewal and just a full change, wipe the slate clean type energy. Now, thunderstorms and lightning. If you have a window that is especially close to the side of your house where it's raining, I mean, if it's all over, it doesn't matter, but you can sit by the window if it's not like lightning. Like, just be safe, because, you know, lightning can be unpredictable. But, or you can, you know, sit in the middle of a room where you don't have to worry about lightning. You sit and you can absorb that energy. Like, you can use that as like an energy boost, like a jumper cable for your body, just, you know. You can also charge your tools if you put them in the windowsill. You can charge your crystals too in a lightning storm and a thunderstorm. It'll really give it a good energy zap. Like, just pew, like, all clean, all charged. There you go. Again, like a jumper cable. Just a little energy boost. Not necessarily recharging the battery, but it'll just give it a little oomph. And then the wind. Some people will actually jar the wind. I remember, during Hurricane Katrina, which of course was an awful travesty, it was a horrible natural disaster, but some people had actually gone so far as to sell the wind from Hurricane Katrina that they had captured in Tupperware boxes, Tupperware containers, on eBay for like $100 a pop. And sure as shit, they all sold. But man, I remember that, and I was like, whoa, people are wild. But yeah, you can use that, too, if you want to have a jar of winds. Personally, I think that would be fucking cool. You can use that for change. You can use that for cleaning slate. You can use it for moving energy, so if you want to propel your energy a little faster, if you want to, like, speed up some spell work, you can use that. You can also use it for chaos magic, so, like I said, use at your own risk for chaos magic. I've only done it once, really, so I am no expert on chaos magic. I highly encourage you to seek out other sources if you're looking for more information on chaos magic. Not that I don't condone it, not that I don't want to use more chaos magic, I just haven't had another situation since that last one where I've really needed it. Speaking of wind, the sun has gone behind the clouds. Did I just summon a storm? I actually think it was predicted to rain today, but that'd be fucking cool. Speaking of that, I'll be talking about how to conjure and dispel weather. But first, I'm going to talk about how to harness and release energy from a storm, in specifically weather witchcraft. So, you can harness the energy by collecting rainwater, charging your tools, you can charge yourself, you can sit and get into, you know, call your corners, or, you know, draw a circle or cast a circle, whatever you do to prepare yourself to meditate and do magic work. And then you can invite that energy of the storm to charge yourself, because you are your most important tool. Doesn't matter if you have a wand or crystals or a mortar and pestle or a cauldron or whatever. Not that all of those aren't fun to have, and not that they aren't useful, but you yourself are the most important tool. So charge yourself first, hun. And you can also create a battery, which I have done before. It works. Okay, and I will definitely be doing that again. I'll be recharging that battery next time it rains, like, significantly. Like, if there's, like, thunder, I'm gonna use it. So, you can use a rock or a crystal, or you can make a poppet of yourself to absorb this energy. I have a little rock that I use. It's a little limestone rock. Nothing super duper special about it, but I liked the rock. I liked how it looked, and I was like, you know what? I'll use this for something, and I've used it as my battery. Lime rock itself is very porous, and I feel like with it being so porous, it holds the energy more. That's just how I feel about it. If you feel differently, that's cool too. But, and you can also make a poppet. If you want to make a poppet of yourself, or if you want to take an object, like a little statue, or even like a candle, because I know that they have candles of people, like people-shaped candles. You can use one of those if you'd like. And then whenever you're ready to utilize that energy, you can light the candle. But what you're going to do is you're going to take whatever object it is, and you're going to assign that object of choice to yourself. So you can carve your name on it. You can just say, this object is me. As it absorbs energy, I absorb energy. As it holds the energy, it saves it for me to use later. Type thing. Super simple. You don't need to do anything super ritualistic with it if you don't want to. Not that I don't love ritual and ceremony. Some of that shit's pretty cool. But, you know, I like to keep things simple for stuff like this. And then you're going to put the object of your choice in a windowsill, or even outside if it's safe to do that, if you're not afraid of it blowing away, like if you can put it somewhere where it's going to stay there and not get carried off in the storm, that would also be cool. You can do that. And then after the storm's over, consider it charged. Keep it in a safe place, and whenever you need to utilize that energy for whatever purpose, if you just need a boost, or if you just have no energy but you really need to do something magical for whatever reason, then you can harness the energy from your battery. Just take your battery and hold it in your hands and visualize the energy coming from the battery into your body. Voila. So, conjuring weather. There's multiple ways that you can conjure weather. Some of these I have learned from my Native American family. I have cousins and great aunts and great uncles who have taught me a handful of things in regards to traditions that the Seminoles kept. The Seminoles used to conjure weather, especially during the Seminole Wars, whenever people from outside of the state of Florida decided to come in and they wanted to chase all the Seminoles out of the Everglades. They didn't fully succeed in that. But they would conjure weather a lot to get rid of the enemy soldiers. And ways you can do that is you can make a chant. You can write your own chant. You can make a sigil that represents bringing in beneficial rain or whatever weather that you would like to have. Or if you want to bring in more sun. If you've been having a lot of rain and you want to, you know, bring in some more sun energy, you can do that as well. You can visualize. Get in a meditative state. Visualize the weather that you want to bring in coming in. Like, in your head, visualize if you're looking for rain. Visualize the clouds coming together, darkening. Envision the wind picking up, blowing through the trees. You can even imagine animals going for cover. You can imagine everything darkening. You can hear the thunder rolling in the distance, getting closer every few minutes, and then visualize the rain falling, soaking into the earth, renewing. That's something you can do. You can pour water into a charged glass, meaning take whatever cup, glass, if you have a chalice, specifically a ritual chalice, you can use that, and charge it with the intention that you're going to use imitation magic to get the rain started. So you can pour water into that charged glass and then go outside and pour it into the ground to kick up the rain. You can beat a drum to symbolize the thunder coming in. You can use a rain stick. You can make a rain stick. You can make it with dried beans or beads or anything like that, and a paper towel roll, a used one. Just cover the ends with some paper, and then you can draw rain sigils, anything on that to help draw in the rain, and then just, you know, turn it back and forth. Use that to help visualize the rain. You can also whistle. Whistle to help conjure the wind to bring in the weather that you're looking for. Or if you need wind itself. If you need wind for whatever reason, you can do that. You can also, according to, which one was this? Otherworldly Oracle. You can use a whistle made of alderwood to conjure weather, to conjure rain specifically. As I talk about it, more wind is coming in. The clouds are kind of dispersing and coming in. You know, it's kind of going in and out. But, yeah, so those are ways that you can conjure weather. You can dispel it. Again, visualization, chanting, a sigil for dispelling the weather. You can also whistle or use a fan or a feather to invoke winds to blow the storm away. You can also do a protection spell if, for whatever reason, if it's a big, big storm, like if it's a major storm like a hurricane or a tornado or potential tornadoes, you can use a protection spell to protect yourself and your loved ones in your community. You can make a protection powder, salt, ground eggshells, also known as cascarilla powder, black pepper. That's just a good basic one. Rue. Those are all very protective. You can use that to invoke the protection of your spirit guides, whatever deities you work with, your guardian angels, whatever you work with. You can ask them for their aid in protecting yourself and your loved ones and your community. Now, if it's something like a hurricane, you usually have a couple of days to prepare yourself. As soon as you hear that a hurricane's coming, I suggest you start doing that work then. Don't delay. The more energy that you put into a protection spell like that, the more effective that it's going to be. Now, I know tornadoes are definitely more short notice, so just do what you can, and then if you're in the immediate area, take whatever precautions you need to secure yourself and make yourself safe. We don't really have tornadoes down here in Florida. We have water spouts, which sometimes come on land and do some damage, but tornadoes aren't very common here. They happen, but it's not like in the Midwest or anything, you know? We don't have a tornado season. We have, well, hurricane season, but so does everybody technically. Anyway, the major keys, if you're going to conjure weather or if you're going to harness the energy from the weather, be prepared. If you get rain frequently or if you get whatever weather you're looking to harness frequently, have those supplies ready, like in a little kit. Like get you a little box from the thrift store or from the craft store so you can put the tools that you would like to charge, or if you can put your battery or your poppet in that box. Just get everything together so as soon as you know that a storm is coming, you can get all of that set up and be prepared for whenever it actually hits. Be organized, kind of the same idea with the box. Be patient, especially if it's your first time working with weather. Don't be too hard on yourself if you feel like you weren't successful or if you feel like you didn't get the exact results that you wanted. It takes patience, just like anything else in witchcraft. It's going to take a little bit of time to get the hang of it and also to figure out your own rhythm in regards to harnessing and collecting energy as well as conjuring and dispelling weather. It just takes practice and patience. Also, be open to what your intuition tells you. Just because you have something planned and you have something prepared, your intuition could tell you to do something different. Always follow your intuition, no matter what. No matter what anyone else tells you, follow your intuition. And also be clear with what you want, which that's kind of witchcraft 101. In regards to intentions, always be clear in what it is that you want to achieve with this. So, the last thing that I'm going to talk about are deities relating to the weather. Every culture has their own weather deity. Especially the natives, they really valued and honored the weather. And they had a lot of different shamanic practices in regards to conjuring and dispelling weather. And some of those things that I talked about, specifically chants, rain sticks, drums, they all kind of stem from native practices. But as long as you're not using the exact rituals, if you're not a part of that tribe, then, you know, just having that same intention is fine, in my opinion. If you're not actively performing a ritual from a closed practice, but you're using kind of the same tools, then I feel like that's okay. Like if you're using the feather, or if you're using a drum, or if you're using a rain stick, as long as you're not using the same exact techniques that they're using, if you're not calling on their deities or their spirit guides, if you're just using it to help channel the energy from yourself, then go for it. But some deities for storms obviously include Thor, the Norse god of thunder. We all know our buddy Thor. Zeus, the Greek god of lightning, also the heavens. He's kind of like the original sky daddy. and then Jupiter is his Roman counterpart. Also, the Wild Hunt. If you're not familiar with the Wild Hunt, it's like a paranormal, mythological group who rides out and collects souls during particular times of the year. They're associated with just nasty weather in general. They tend to go out during nasty weather. It's a very paranormal thing. I would love to do an episode just dedicated to the Wild Hunt. If you want me to do that, let me know, because I'd love to do that. Horus, the Egyptian god, he was not only a sun god and a god of war, but he was also a god of beneficial storms. So things that didn't destroy crops, but actually replenished the earth. He's related to that. Tyrannus, he is the Celtic, or he is a Celtic god of thunder, specifically Irish. Tempestus is the Roman goddess of sudden storms. So if you need a quick sudden storm to come through, you can call on Tempestus. There's also Mariamman, And Mariamman is the Hindu rain goddess. So if you're working in Ayurvedic practices, if you are of Hindu ancestry, if you have, or if you practice Hinduism, then you can work with her, because I know that there are Hindu witches out there. You can work with her. And the last one that I wanted to mention was Fujin. Fujin is the Japanese god of wind. So, there you have it. There is the summary of my knowledge, as well as some other sources on storm magic. I love storm magic, and I hope that you guys are encouraged to utilize it in your own practices as well. I think it's really fun. It's very energetically charged. If you're looking for something new in your practice, something to, you know, kind of, if you're in a slump and you're looking for some revitalization, I highly suggest some storm magic. So today's recipe of the week, I actually have it planned out today, woo, is a rainy day fish stew, courtesy of Life is But a Dish. I love a good fish stew. I think it's just because, you know, Southern Italians, we love seafood and we love fish stew type things. So that's where I got this from. Did I mention the page name already? Life is But a Dish. Very cute. So I will be recording that in just a second. I hope you guys enjoyed. Please don't forget about the fundraiser that I'm doing with Save Slut. I recorded that 2 weeks ago with Trisha. Go check that out if you haven't listened. We talk about sex magic and all kinds of fun stuff. And we're also doing a fundraiser for minority sex workers. These two organizations, BIPOC Collective and Red Canary Song, aid minority women. BIPOC Collective goes for BIPOC women. Red Canary Song is for AAPI women who are in the sex industry. There's also links in the show notes of that episode where you can go and directly donate to those two organizations if you don't want to buy the merch. But I highly encourage you to at least donate whatever you can, especially AAPI women. They really need our help right now. So, also, by the time that this comes out, I will have announced that pre-orders are open for the Witch and Kitchen Box. So, the Witch and Kitchen Box is a meal kit that provides all of the dry and non-perishable ingredients for a fabulous Sabbat meal. You will get the dry and non-perishable ingredients for a savory dish and a sweet dish. You'll also get a recipe for a drink, which you can utilize as a cocktail, or you can make a non-alcoholic version. We'll have both. Pre-orders, if you order before May 1st, if you order before Beltane, you will get an additional ritual for your box. It also comes with a crystal and other witchy supplies. We've got all kinds of goodies in there. It's $45 plus shipping. Plus tax, free shipping is included. So, yeah, there you go. thank you guys so much for all of your love and support, and I hope you enjoy the recipe. Stay tuned for that. If you haven't ordered your Witch and Kitchen box, go do that. You will get it the week before the summer solstice. So that is the week before June 20th. So get on it. We'll be doing some live demos and live unboxings in May and early June, so be on the lookout for all that. Thanks so much. Have a great rest of your day, and I'll catch you on the next one. Bye. You want to know? I know that this is for the recipe of the week. I'll get to that, but I have a side note. You want to know a song that, like, really, if you don't have a storm coming and you still kind of want to feel that vibe, Riders on the Storm from The Doors does it to me every time. Like, that is one of my go-to, just, oh yeah, just like have a little smoke, lean back and just let that whole vibe happen.
And by smoke, I mean like a cigarette. Like, I'll smoke a cigarette every now and then. But, oh, man. Yeah. I just wanted to mention that. So, recipe of the week. A rainy day fish stew, courtesy of lifeisbutadish.com. Just a side note, I think that, personally, a little bit of shrimp would go, like, really well in this. But anyway, you'll need 6 tablespoons of olive oil, a small onion, chopped, 2 to 3 garlic cloves, always add 1 more. That's just Italian rule of thumb. If it says 2 or 3, they really mean 4. Chop that up. 1 medium tomato, chopped, 2 teaspoons of tomato paste, 8 ounces of clam juice, 1/2 cup of dry white wine, 1 pound of fresh halibut fillets or red snapper or sea bass cut into 2-inch pieces, 1/4 cup of fresh chopped parsley, 1/4 teaspoon each of dry oregano, thyme, and pepper, 1 dash of Tabasco, use as much or as little as you'd like, and salt and pepper to taste. Again, I think some like shrimp would be really good in this too. So, heat your olive oil in a heavy, large pot over medium-high heat, add your onions, and saute for a few minutes until translucent. Then you're going to add garlic and cook 1 more minute, add tomato and your tomato paste, and cook on medium-low heat for about 10 more minutes. Then you're going to add in your clam juice, your white wine, and your fish, and you're going to simmer for about 10 more minutes or until the fish is cooked through. Then you're going to add your parsley, seasoning, and Tabasco. Then you're going to serve right away with some hot, crusty bread for dipping. Thank you very much, Life is But a Dish. This sounds delightful. So, I hope you enjoy this recipe. If you make it, be sure and tag me. I would love to see what your thoughts are on the recipe and just any recipe that I post on here. I would love to know what your thoughts are. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I'll catch you on the next one. Bye-bye. For listening to today's episode. I hope you enjoyed, and if you'd like, you can check out the website at witchinkitchenpod.com. You can follow the show on Facebook at witchinkitchenpod. You can follow the show on Instagram at the Witching Kitchen Podcast. You can follow the show on Twitter at witchkitchenpod, or you can send me an email at witchingkitchenpodcast@gmail.com. And please don't forget to rate and review the show on the Facebook page, or you can go to iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you so much, and have a magical rest of your day.